Perpetually broke? Living beyond your income? Get a financial makeover in 7 hours and achieve prosperity by 40. Written by Tom Cromwell. Narrated by Russell Newton for Hot Ghost Productions. In the high consumption and debt-ridden society that we live in today, living beyond one's means is a familiar phenomenon. The YOLO, you only live once, philosophy that pervades modern society has normalized excessive spending, usually on things we don't need and can do without. The pressure to acquire the latest gadgets, fit in with popular trends, and keep up with the Joneses has turned many of us into extravagant spenders who hardly ever step back to think about how we're spending our money. Due to the easy credit that is advanced by most financial institutions and other lenders, many people are quick to take on debts in pursuit of instant gratification. These debts are often taken to acquire liability goods and assets that depreciate as soon as they are purchased, leading to an unsustainable cycle of debt. Meanwhile, we aspire to achieve prosperity and retire early on a comfortable income. When we moved to a small village, we had some neighbors who bought a run-down cottage at the same time. They proceeded to knock it down and build a large house with outbuildings. It was fantastic. I confess, I was envious. They had cars, she went riding, and they had a son the same age as our daughter. So we mixed, as it was a small village. He wasn't working, but they had investments. Their life appeared idyllic from the outside, but then one day, someone turned up to repossess the BMW. The whole house of cards came crashing down. It transpired that they were massively in debt, and everything was mortgaged to the hilt. Their lifestyle was completely unaffordable. Apparently, she had no notion until the repo men turned up, of course. It didn't turn out well for their marriage. This spendthrift attitude has become so common that many people are never aware of it when they engage in unfettered spending. It's not unusual for even the most financially prudent individuals to be mocked and chided as being miserly. However, despite how normalized it has become, living beyond one's income can have dire effects, not just on individuals, but on organizations and even economies as well. At a macro level, we've all seen the impact of runaway debt on the economies of many countries. Perhaps the best example of the dangers of living beyond one's means on the scale of countries can be seen in Greece, whose economy nearly collapsed in the late 2000s due to poor fiscal policies that led to the ballooning of public debt. The country had to embark on various emergency measures, including debt restructuring and austerity, to survive the economic apocalypse that they were experiencing. Taking charge of one's finances is crucial to effective financial management. Most young adults are beleaguered by a myriad of problems that hamper their ability to control their finances. This usually leads to poor financial decisions that keep them perpetually tethered to a cycle of debt and impedes the achievement of financial freedom. To unshackle yourself from this, it is imperative that you acquire a good understanding of the mishaps that prevent you from developing healthy and sustainable financial behaviors and practices. Let us now look at some of the common problems and scenarios that may be getting in your way as you try to achieve financial independence. Running out of money before next payday. According to a survey by the financial services company Salary Finance Limited, more than a third of American workers run out of money before their next paycheck. In the report titled Inside the Wallets of Working Americans, 42% of American employees cited financial problems as the leading cause of stress. Moreover, workers who earn lower incomes are the most adversely affected by financial-related stress, with 50% of employees earning less than $15,000 citing financial problems as the main stress factor in their lives. It was also found that 49% of workers earning between $15,000 and $25,000 experience finance-related stress. This is not very surprising, considering the rising cost of living and stagnating salaries, which make it difficult for low-income earners to have disposable income. One of the biggest factors contributing to financial stress is running out of money before the next paycheck, which happens to over 32% of workers, according to findings by Salary Finance. Very often in the course of my life, I'm approached by people who complain that they simply don't understand why their paycheck runs out so fast. This creates a precarious financial situation because it makes it difficult to save money for emergencies. This has become especially apparent in light of the coronavirus pandemic, which has led to massive job losses, leaving many workers in America and around the world in dire financial straits. In a survey conducted by Pew Research Center in April 2020, only 47% of respondents said they have enough emergency funds to cover 3 months of expenses. This means that a large number of workers will need to take up more debt to cover most of their expenses. While most Americans were already living paycheck to paycheck even before the coronavirus, the emergence of this new health crisis and its attendant economic implications means that the financial security of most workers is now in jeopardy. This is not a problem that is purely experienced by low-income earners. Even professionals who earn a quite reasonable salary usually admit that they don't know where their paycheck went. While there are myriads of reasons why most people's wages seem to disappear into thin air as soon as they are paid, I have found that poor budgeting skills are often the root cause of this. Specifically, misunderstanding how much is available as free funds after making debt, loan, mortgage, or rent payments. Individuals who fail to budget for their paycheck in advance usually end up misallocating their finances and incurring unplanned expenses, which cause their money to run out faster. Therefore, learning how to budget appropriately and sticking to one's budget can help to mitigate this problem through planned spending. Not knowing the size of overdraft or debt. Another common problem that hinders most people from achieving financial freedom is the failure to keep track of debt, which is due to the fact that debt and credit distort our sense of spending. A little while ago, my sister-in-law tragically passed away from a stroke at a relatively young age. A while before, her mother passed away, and she and her sister were the beneficiaries of a decent-sized estate. The family had always lived a seemingly modest existence, commensurate with modest salaries. We would be the beneficiaries of hand-me-down clothes for my nephew, of which were always plenty, of good quality brands, but we thought nothing of it. After her mother's death, they splashed a bit of money on new cars and a truck, but nothing very excessive. However, after her untimely death, not only was there no sign of the inheritance, but there were unpaid credit cards and loans. Even the house had been remortgaged for an increased amount through the bank she worked at, and without the husband's knowledge. There was nothing to show for all this spending except a few wardrobes full of clothes. Even her son's inheritance from his grandma had gone. We subsequently surmised that she'd been running and juggling massive debt for years, and the interest had been piling up and piling up. When she came into the money, it was all swallowed up, clearing up the debts. This illustrates the negative snowball effects of debt interest. Once allowed to reach a critical mass, they can ruin your finances forever. If you live on a cash basis, it is psychologically easier to keep track of spending because when you hand over cash during a purchase, you don't get it back. In other words, something physical leaves your possession in exchange for the goods or services. On the other hand, when you charge a credit card, it's handed back to you. It's easy to assume that you have more funds than you do. This can lead to a ballooning of debt, which may put a lot of strain on your finances. It is therefore important to develop an awareness of your debt to prevent it from spiraling out of control. There are several warning signs that can help you pick up on a personal debt crisis. These include 1. Minimum payments. While making minimum payments may afford you more flexibility when it comes to servicing your debt, it can also be detrimental to your financial stability. This is because minimum payments keep you in debt for longer. By only chipping on your debt, you may get stuck on a perpetual cycle of making monthly debt payments while interest continues to pile up. Credit card debt, for example, is easy to rack up since you may end up ignoring it as long as you're making minimum payments now and then. As a result, you'll end up paying a relatively small debt for a very long time, with most of the payments going on interest, which will make it more difficult to achieve financial freedom. 2. Struggles with debt collectors. If you have debt collectors or creditors constantly hounding and threatening you with repossession of property or wage garnishments, chances are you're not managing your debt properly. You need to evaluate the debt that you have racked up and begin making payments to ease your debt and prevent creditors from making these threats. Disagreements with your creditors are also telltale signs that you need to change your approach and behavior. 3. Inability to secure loans or credit cards. Having unmanaged debt can greatly hamper your ability to secure loans from creditors. If you find that you're unable to get loans or credit on favorable terms, it means that your credit worthiness has dwindled. Creditors have little confidence in your ability to repay loans. 4. Inability to grow your savings. If you find that you have no money to put into savings after covering your bills, there's a strong likelihood that you have a debt problem. You should carefully evaluate whether your savings are increasing or decreasing, since this will provide you with clues on how well you're managing your debt. If you notice that you often have to dig into your savings or retirement funds to cover your day-to-day expenses, this is a sign that you have unsustainable debt. Impulsive or compulsive spending. You see it and you want it now. Impulsive spending is undoubtedly a common phenomenon in today's culture of high consumption. Nearly everyone can admit to having purchased a product or service at some point simply because they thought it was attractive. The rise of online stores has made it a lot easier and convenient to shop for products and services without even having to leave the house. However, the convenience that online shopping provides has also made us more prone to spend money on things that we may not necessarily need. According to a recent survey by Finder.com on consumer habits, 88.6% of Americans admit to having engaged in impulsive shopping online, with each individual spending an average of $81.75 per session. While impulsive buying is not necessarily a bad thing when done occasionally, it can lead to serious problems when done regularly. Individuals who engage in frequent impulsive buying tend to overspend, and this can lead to negative feelings of guilt and self-loathing, which can give rise to a cycle of more spending to assuage these feelings. For some people, these problems develop further and become compulsive, a habit that is out of their control, an addiction. This makes compulsive spenders prone to anxiety, low self-esteem, and unhappiness. From Spenders Anonymous, a client we'll name R is quoted as saying, "I believed at the time that everyone had credit cards and always bought what they wanted. That's what I did. I spent a lot of time window shopping, store shopping, and buying now but paying later. I always thought I would have the money, so I lived with this heavy feeling from debt and also from living in a fantasy world. I bought things because I thought that was where happiness was." So, why do a lot of people engage in impulse buying, given how problematic it can be? Well, here are a number of factors that may motivate individuals to spend impulsively. 1. The desire to save money. Most times when people engage in impulsive buying, the motive is usually to take advantage of the attractive discounts that are offered on items that are on sale. For instance, you may find that your favorite store has shoes on sale and think it's best to buy a pair or two. This may seem like a prudent financial decision, especially if your shoes are starting to wear out and you were already planning to buy new ones in a month or two. However, despite your very reasonable rationalization, you will still end up spending money that you did not budget. Since you hadn't factored new shoes in your budget, the reality is that you don't have the money to spend on the purchase of shoes. But your desire to save cash causes you to overlook this factor and buy them anyway. 2. A need to feel good. In the consumerist society that we live in today, there's pressure for people to purchase things they don't need to compensate for any insecurities or dissatisfactions that they experience. Companies are constantly conducting aggressive advertising campaigns that are designed to make people believe that they would be happier, more attractive, or successful if they purchased their products. As a result, individuals feel pressured into spending a lot of money on things that don't add tangible value to their lives. When I was younger, my wife and I visited a couple. The husband worked at the same firm as my wife. While we were at their house, I was staggered by the rows and rows of VHS cassettes, hundreds of them, box set after box set after box set. There on the wall were several thousand worths of spending, and this was a young couple with a new mortgage. I couldn't believe anyone could pour so much money into buying stuff they had probably already watched on television or at the cinema. Furthermore, DVDs were just coming in, so they were all about to be rendered obsolete. They split up with massive debts, and he was left paying off the cost of those box sets for for years afterwards. 3. Made-up lists of wants. There's a natural tendency to see things and then to want them. We are surrounded by programs, films, social media, and advertisements that are designed to produce desire for a lifestyle or physical items. We start to add things to an imaginary list of wants that we then fulfill. Even when it is not as extreme as the case of Kirk below, it is mentally damaging as it leads to low-level unhappiness and dissatisfaction. As Kirk from Spenders Anonymous said, "My compulsive spending problem is intricately linked with my obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD. I make lists of things to do and buy. When I get going on a list, it can be like an avalanche of activity. Not only will I try to finish buying everything on the list, but inevitably, I will end up buying many other things that were not on the list. I've run up credit card bills that I don't know how I would pay off. I recognize when I'm engaged in a spending spree, but I often have felt powerless to stop myself. The compulsion to finish the list and to avoid adding other things to the list by buying them right then has often been much stronger than the recognition that I didn't have the money to pay for what I was buying. Paying off debt that eats a huge chunk of your income. While regular payments to creditors can manage small debts, larger debts are usually a lot harder to control. If you allow your debt to spiral out of hand, you may end up in a scenario whereby you are making sizable debt payments, which can carve out a huge percentage of your earnings. Taking on debt is essentially the same as spending future income. The money that you earn in the future is spent on repaying the principal as well as the accumulated interest. Many people take on debt in an expectation that their future income will rise. This assumption can often fail to materialize. If you don't manage your debt early, it may eventually get to a point where all your income that is not used in necessities ends up servicing the interest on your debt. When it gets to this point, this is where the house of cards collapses. The following table illustrates the amount of interest you will pay on some example loans. Remember that interest is the amount of your future income that you'll be handing over for the privilege of consuming something today rather than delaying it. You should convert the amount of interest you will pay into the number of hours you would have to work to earn the equivalent amount. This gives you a sense of the real cost of your spending and debt. All loans are assumed to have monthly compounding when interest is paid on unpaid interest, except for payday loans, which are fortnightly, 14 days. Interest to be paid assumes you make no payments over the term. In the case of the credit card, we've used 1 year. All fees and charges are excluded. The fees for non-payment or making new loan arrangements are usually exorbitant, especially for payday loans, and could easily double the actual APR. Credit card companies may also charge a higher penalty rate following non-payment. APR equals annualized percentage rate. This is simple interest expressed in a way that makes a comparison valid for different compounding periods, the same way we use miles per hour to compare speed. YOLO lifestyle. Many millennials today have embraced a YOLO lifestyle, living in the moment with instant gratification without worrying too much about the future. Let's face it, the future seems very far away when you're 20-something. One of the serious dangers of the YOLO mentality is that it promotes overspending. Individuals who subscribe to this philosophy are likely to justify purchasing things they cannot afford by incurring debt. It shouldn't come as a surprise, then, that the overwhelming majority of individuals who profess this kind of lifestyle are broke most of the time. As harmless as it may seem at face value, however, the YOLO style of spending can be very detrimental to one's long-term financial stability. Failing to manage immediate financial concerns properly can lead to perpetual financial stress and make it impossible to achieve any kind of prosperity and financial calm. Overlooking the importance of financially responsible behaviors, such as saving and budgeting, may seem inconsequential now, but takes on a different perspective once you arrive in your 40s, with half your working life behind you and nothing to show but a pile of debt and a nice Instagram feed. Never have money, so when you get it, you just spend it. Managing money is a habit, which means that when you finally get some, it can slip through your fingers like water. If you don't have a regular source of income, you're more likely to have a pile-up of expenses and, as a result, end up spending all your money as soon as you earn it. This is what makes it difficult for you to develop a habit of saving and growing your disposable income, thus keeping you in a loop of debt and borrowing. Furthermore, having an unstable income makes it slightly more complex to manage your finances and plan for the future. We will address the solution to this later. Looking for get-rich-quick solutions. The world today is saturated with countless scam enterprises that can offer unsuspecting victims overinflated promises of fortune that turn out to be fraudulent. Mainstream culture and governments have, to a great extent, abetted this get-rich-quick mindset through media portrayals of ordinary folks winning astronomical sums of money in lotteries, gaming platforms, and pyramid schemes. As a result, some people believe that using a lottery win will fund their retirement. Of course, the economics of lotteries makes this wholly implausible. The allure of easy money can drive you on a dangerous path of financial and emotional ruin, not to mention wastage of time, energy, and resources, which could have been channeled to better use. There are several reasons why get-rich schemes simply do not work and will not help you to make a fortune, as some marketers of these enterprises would like you to believe. These include, 1. They do not obey the law of equity. In every aspect of life, there's a direct correlation between the amount of input that is given and the output that results from it. If you work out physically in the gym, for instance, you can build muscle and cut down on your weight, thereby becoming more healthy. Likewise, if you spend a lot of time and effort trying to learn and perfect a particular skill, you develop mastery in that field. As a result, you'll be able to execute your tasks perfectly and with ease. The same thing is true when it comes to building wealth and fortune. To obtain wealth and be able to manage it properly, you need to invest a lot of time, money, patience, and effort. This allows you to develop the know-how of wealth creation and management, which will enable you to sustain your fortune. On the other hand, if you acquire wealth without putting in the commensurate effort, you may not have the experience that is required to sustain it. 2. Easily acquired wealth often disappears just as quickly. Majority of people who suddenly become wealthy due to windfalls, such as winning the lottery, often end up going broke in a few months or years. The reason for this is that people who suddenly acquire wealth without making an effort tend not to value it enough. As a result, they may dish out large sums of money to their family and friends, spend extravagantly on vanity projects and liability goods, and fail to monitor their spending. 3. Get-rich schemes are prone to false advertising. Most enterprises that promise quick riches often deliberately misrepresent their schemes to take advantage of the desperation of unsuspecting individuals. They may, for instance, advertise themselves as legitimate investment opportunities while offering no tangible benefits, or affiliate marketing scams that promise people large sums of income for doing menial tasks. In some cases, they may even be rich relative scams, which trick their victims into thinking they've won a windfall from a wealthy relation. Instead, these enterprises simply rely on unsuspecting individuals and swindle them of their money. Although there's nothing inherently evil about wanting to get as far as possible with minimal effort, resorting to these get-rich-quick schemes can make you an easy target for would-be scammers who are only looking to leave your pockets dry. The major issues with these schemes are that they divert us into wasting time, energy, and money and derail us from the real path to prosperity. So the first step in building healthy financial behavior is to understand that nothing comes easy, and you'll have to put in some tangible effort to reap the rewards that you're seeking. Once you become aware of this fact, you will develop an appreciation of financial discipline and begin to work on managing your finances more effectively. In summary, here are the main takeaways from this chapter. Achieving financial freedom requires you to understand the problems and issues that have delivered you here at this moment in time. Get-rich-quick schemes are not effective ways of creating wealth. Expect to get out what you put in. Make a list for yourself of all the financial problems that you have in your life. And for each problem, identify the root cause of that problem. This will come in handy later. In this chapter, we shall examine and attempt to understand the causes of problem behavior and how it impacts your finances. We'll look at how marketers are manipulating your normal human responses and how you can resist these cynical ploys. You will learn about the 5 common problems sabotaging your prosperity, 7 debt myths that are keeping you impoverished, the difference between good debt and bad debt, 5 psychological weapons being used to make you overspend, how to protect yourself from influencers. Becoming financially responsible is one of the most important aspects of being an adult. If you've recently left home and are trying to chart your path in the world, it's vital that you learn how to manage your finances properly to sustain your lifestyle and grow your wealth. Nevertheless, there are many habits that we often pick along the way, which make it harder to achieve financial freedom. If you find that you tend to be broke most of the time, despite having a source of income, here are some of the areas you may be going wrong. 5 common problems sabotaging your prosperity. 1. You lack the right mindset. Having the right mindset is crucial when it comes to developing behaviors that will help you to achieve financial success. This is simply because your thoughts will tend to translate into actions. So before you even embark on the task of effecting financial discipline in your life, you need first to make a conscious decision that you want to create wealth and achieve financial freedom. Once you convince yourself that you are capable of becoming wealthy and make the choice to work towards that goal, you'll have the motivation and drive to implement the necessary changes in your behavior and lifestyle. 2. Failure to budget. In order to plan your financial life in a sustainable way, you must learn how to budget your money. Having a budget not only allows you to keep your expenses low, but also enables you to make shrewd investments. By cutting down on your expenses, you'll be able to save money, which you can deposit in an emergency fund account to keep you financially secure in case unplanned or unexpected events arise. 3. Overspending. One of the negative outcomes of failing to budget is that you end up spending more than you can earn. This can make it difficult to save money or even have spare funds to channel into wealth-generating assets. Furthermore, overspending also increases the likelihood of excessive borrowing, which can cause you to rake in a lot of debt to fund unaffordable consumption. 4. Failing to invest. Unless you are the top C levels of a large company, the chances of becoming rich from your salary are very low. To generate real wealth, you need to invest your income in projects that have the potential for high returns. In other words, you need to make your money work for you instead of working for money. 4. Failing to prioritize debt repayment. One of the common financial mistakes that people often make is to put off paying debt or only paying minimal amounts. This can be very counterproductive since it prolongs the period of repayment, which can result in paying higher interest rates. So, to achieve financial freedom, you need to take an aggressive stance when it comes to clearing your debt. By making debt clearance a top priority, you will be able to pull yourself out of the vicious debt cycle a lot faster and eventually have spare cash to redirect to wealth-generating opportunities. We will discuss different approaches to clearing this debt later in the book. 5. Fear of failure. Many people often get stuck in poor financial situations simply because they're afraid of failing. They may worry that financial management is a complicated and time-consuming process for which they are just not cut out. They may also lack confidence in their ability to make good decisions and wrongly assume they will end up making mistakes. If fear is the only thing holding you back from reaching for financial success, you need to understand that failure is a part of life, and your mistakes help you learn. After all, it is impossible to succeed in anything without making an effort to try. 7 debt myths that are keeping you impoverished. Having affordable debt is not necessarily a bad thing, but is generally counterproductive, except as we will discuss. Most businesses grow and develop as a result of loans acquired from lending institutions such as banks. They do this by using it to generate a higher return than the cost of the debt. However, when you manage debt poorly, it can quickly become a serious financial problem, which can lead to brokenness. Therefore, understanding how debt works and how you can control it is very crucial when it comes to managing your finances properly. There are several wrong beliefs about debt that most people tend to hold, which affect their finances and decision-making strategies. Let us now look at some of these common myths and see whether there is any truth to them. Myth 1. Debt is either good or bad. According to a survey conducted by PricewaterhouseCoopers in 2017, debt is one of the main causes of financial stress for American workers. This is not entirely surprising, because the average American household owes a total debt of $134,643. Nevertheless, rising debt levels and the strain that they exert on individual incomes have created the general perception that debt is always a bad thing. However, some types of debt can lead to better financial outcomes, thus enabling one to improve their future wealth prospects. In general, any kind of debt that is channeled towards investments, which can potentially increase your income, or used to purchase an appreciating asset, you can consider as good debt. Let's look at some examples to understand the difference between good and bad debt. A. Mortgages. Most workers are not able to purchase homes in cash due to insufficient income and day-to-day expenses, which take up most of their paychecks. For this reason, many home buyers typically end up having to take on some debt in the form of mortgages to buy a property. This can be advantageous because it allows individuals with good credit scores to receive loans at reasonable interest rates to invest in a home, which has historically been an appreciating asset. However, a mortgage can very easily become a bad debt if you overextend yourself, purchasing a property that leaves insufficient free income to meet your other needs, or even if it just drains your cash flow such that you cannot make proper provisions for investing and retirement. Failure to maintain the payments can lead to foreclosures and repossession of the property by your lender. B. Vehicle loans. Taking up debt to procure a vehicle, which is beyond your means, is undoubtedly a bad idea, even though low finance rates appear to make it more palatable. This is especially true because there are other payments to be made, for instance, insurance and maintenance. Cars are fast depreciating assets, and the amount of your loan can easily exceed the value. Various types of finance deals are available on vehicles, which makes them superficially attractive. For example, a personal contract plan, PCP, that requires a minimum deposit, and at the end of the contract, you are required to make a final balloon payment or hand the vehicle back. A PCP is designed to keep you coming back every 3 years for a new vehicle, even though the lifespan of a car is now many times that. The average price of new cars and the level of equipment has been rising steadily since these schemes became widespread, because the reasonable monthly cost hides the real cost. Adopting these financial plans could drain your cash flow in interest payments, which you could otherwise invest in other projects. Car payments could be taking up the second largest part of your post-tax income after mortgage or rent payments. However, they are much more easily controlled by making trade-offs. C. Student loans. Student loans are, without a doubt, one of the most common debts that many people take up in the course of their lives. However, with millions of borrowers defaulting on these loans every year, it can be difficult to perceive this kind of debt as good. The truth of the matter is that student loans can be good or bad, depending on how you leverage them. For instance, if you borrow a small amount to pay for a course in a reasonably priced college or university, this can be considered as a reasonably good loan, given that your earnings are likely to increase once you attain higher education. On the other hand, taking up too much debt to finance a college or university education in an expensive institution can be a liability in the event that you fail to secure a high-paying career. If you're thinking about securing a loan to pay for college, therefore, you need to choose an institution and loan amount aligned with your potential future earnings. As a rule of thumb, Good debt is one that promises future benefits, either in terms of increased earnings or improved quality of life. In contrast, bad debt is one that is likely to cost you more money in the future or leave you worse off than if you hadn't taken the debt in the first place. Any kind of debt that you incur as a result of financing a lifestyle that is beyond your earnings, you should consider as bad debt. For instance, if you charge your credit card to pay for things like fancy clothes, entertainment, and expensive phones, then carry forward the debt every month, you will eventually end up accruing more interest, which may sink you into debt even further. Conversely, if you borrow some money from a bank to set up a side hustle to supplement your income, you will be able to repay the loan from the profits that your enterprise generates, thus improving your financial prospects. Myth 2. You should only start to save once you have finished paying your debt. Many people often wrongly believe that they should save once an individual has completely cleared all their outstanding debt. While this may seem rather logical at face value, channeling all your spare income to debt repayments may not be the ideal way to go, especially if you have large outstanding debts. It is therefore advisable to approach your financial situation from a balanced perspective. We'll discuss this later in the book. Myth 3. You will lose your possessions if you fail to repay your outstanding debt. It's not uncommon for people to worry that creditors will repossess their possessions if they are declared bankrupt. This, however, should not be a reason for concern. While lenders can repossess homes and vehicles in case owners are unable to repay the debt, personal effects, household goods, and furniture are generally exempt from bankruptcy claims. Nevertheless, there are instances where your creditors may ask you to include items of high value, such as expensive paintings and luxury cars, in a sworn statement of affairs. As long as you make regular payments to your creditors, you are likely to keep all your possessions. Myth 4. You will lose your job if you are unable to pay back your debt. Many people often express concern about getting fired by their employers if they file for bankruptcy. The truth of the matter, however, is that it is illegal for employers to dismiss their employees from the workplace simply because they have defaulted on their debt payments or filed a bankruptcy claim. Your employer will not even be informed about your bankruptcy unless there is a wage garnishment order. In case this order is granted by a court, your employer may be tasked to withhold a certain amount of your paycheck and send it directly to your creditor until the debt has been cleared. Myth 5. You will be unable to secure credit in the future if you declare bankruptcy. While most people tend to perceive bankruptcy as some kind of punishment for loan defaulters, it is designed to be rehabilitative. It would therefore be unfair for individuals to be punished for the rest of their lives simply for failing to meet their loan obligations. In general, people who declare bankruptcy are listed on credit reports for a maximum of 6 years before they are dropped off. This essentially means that you can still secure loans and mortgages from lenders in the future once you are discharged from bankruptcy. Myth 6. Bankruptcy is the only option if you have large outstanding debt. While most people often see bankruptcy as the only solution for large debt, there are several measures that you can take to solve a debt problem without having to declare bankruptcy. Bankruptcy should only be considered as a final resort after all other options have been exhausted. One of the main ways in which you can solve a debt problem is through debt management. In this approach, multiple loans are combined into a single loan to lower the interest and make payment a lot easier. Another option that you can consider to deal with large outstanding debts is a settlement. This involves negotiating with your creditors to have a part of your debt erased. As a result, the outstanding debt is reduced, thereby easing the pressure of repayment. Myth 7. Late credit card payments will hurt your credit rating. Granted, late credit card payments are far from ideal. This is because they lead to the accumulation of fees and increased interest charges. However, just because you're late on your payment doesn't mean your credit score will be affected. In general, companies do not report credit card payments unless they are overdue by more than 30 days. so you have no reason to worry about getting listed on credit bureaus as long as you make the payment within the month. Managing bad spending behaviors. We live in an increasingly materialistic world that promotes compulsive spending and buying things that we often don't need. Every single day, we are bombarded with advertisements which tell us we won't be happy unless we acquire the latest trendy gadget or product that is on sale. It's no surprise, then, that most people run out of money as soon as they receive their paycheck and end up racking huge debts in a bid to furnish their expensive lifestyles. Compulsive spending is one of the most common addictions in today's society. Unfortunately, most people don't consider it an addiction problem because no physical symptoms are involved. Nevertheless, compulsive spending can be a serious addiction issue, not very different from other addictions such as drugs, sex, and gambling. First, people usually engage in impulse buying to feel good about themselves and avoid negative feelings, such as anxiety and depression. Compulsive spending is often rooted in feelings of inadequacy and low self-esteem, but can be exacerbated by mood disorders. Many believe that by buying all the fancy and expensive things that are marketed by companies, they'll be able to fill the void in their lives and achieve happiness. Sure, charging your credit card or any spending can give you a temporary feeling of power and freedom. However, the more you continue to overspend in things you do not need, funding an unsustainable life cycle ultimately fuels the cycle of self-loathing, anxiety, and depression. Just as with other pleasurable activities, such as sex and drug use, spending typically activates reward centers in the brain and stimulates the release of the feel-good hormone dopamine. The more you spend money to trigger this good feeling, the higher the surge of dopamine. As a result, you end up getting caught in a cycle of overspending on things that you don't need to chase that dopamine high. The happy feeling that one experiences due to compulsive spending can provide temporary relief from negative feelings such as anxiety and stress. However, when the spending becomes too much, it often results in high debts, which can further exacerbate one's mental problems and disrupt their lives. If you want to achieve financial success and freedom, therefore, you need to overcome your bad spending habits and develop good behaviors when it comes to how you manage your money. To do so, it is important to be able to identify the symptoms of compulsive spending addiction. Here are some of the telltale signs that can help you diagnose this problem. Spending a significant amount of your income in arbitrary and unplanned purchases. Accumulating a large amount of consumer debt. Inability to stop spending despite having a desire to do so. Hiding purchase items from close relatives and friends. Being more excited about purchasing things than actually owning them. Purchasing items which you end up not using. Buying a large number of products which you do not need. Having relationship problems due to bad spending habits. Experiencing negative feelings such as shame and guilt from your spending habits. Feeling excited or uneasy when shopping. Using spending as a coping mechanism to deal with unpleasant emotions such as low self-esteem, anxiety, and depression. Like most addictions, compulsive spending disorder can be very challenging to quit, especially if you have spare income most of the time. Nevertheless, cognitive behavioral therapy can help to mitigate this problem by addressing the psychological factors which contribute to needless spending. Overcoming the challenge of compulsive spending also requires a total change in one's mindset. Desire. Are you being manipulated into spending more? It's hard to go through your day without coming across numerous ads, whether on TV, social media, or billboards, seeking to draw your attention to all kinds of products in the hope of convincing you to buy whatever it is they are marketing. While there's nothing inherently wrong with advertising, many companies today employ manipulative tactics which are psychologically influencing us into spending money on things that we don't need. These techniques are so effective, relying on our social conditioning, that we will not realize that they manipulated us. In contemporary times, ads have become far more complex and nuanced, often employing eye-catching visuals, sophisticated graphics, and carefully choreographed stories, which create lasting impressions about the products. The memories that this creates on the mind of consumers through ads can have a profound emotional impact on them and influence their decision on whether or not to buy a certain product. One of the fundamental things to realize about mass consumer advertising is that it doesn't care if you can afford the product as long as you buy it. Marketeers deliberately want you to aspire to their product so they can increase the profit margins. By purchasing the product, you believe that you take on the desirable characters and traits of the people using the product in the advertising. In essence, ads raise the desire for a product so that you perceive the value to be in excess of the cost. If you are struggling with everyday expenses and bills, you probably don't have a lot of money to spare for purchasing the latest expensive phone or other luxury items. But since ads are always designed to appeal to your emotions, you may find yourself taking on debt simply to own a fancy product that is marketed at you, which will ultimately mess with your budget and lead to money problems. Advertisements are designed to arouse extrinsic motivation to influence you to purchase things that may not necessarily be useful to you. Intrinsically motivated people usually have an innate feeling of self-acceptance and will do things because they intuitively believe they are good for them. On the other hand, extrinsically motivated people tend to focus too much on how others perceive them and are more likely to prioritize social acceptance and popularity than personal happiness and fulfillment. Advertisers are very conscious of this fact, which is why they employ messaging tactics to evoke desire in consumers and make them believe that they won't be whole, happy, or accepted unless they own a particular product. Desire is a very powerful emotion that can overrun one's ability to make rational decisions. Therefore, before purchasing any product that is being advertised, you should take the time to think it through carefully to ascertain whether you are buying it because you need it or simply because the advertisers tell you that you do. One useful tactic that you can employ is to enforce a mandatory holding strategy on your spending, whereby you wait 72 hours before deciding to purchase a product. This will give you enough time to decide whether you want to proceed with the transaction or not. One of the factors that usually drives people to spend is the perception that whatever they own is not enough. For instance, you may feel like your possessions, such as your phone, car, or house, are not as good as someone else's. This can lead to feelings of inadequacy, which, consequently, push you to spend more to try to attain the same status. It is important to realize that every individual's circumstances are unique, and so comparing yourself with them, especially fictitious advertising characters, serves no useful purpose other than to dent your self-esteem and confidence. By avoiding the stimuli, which gives you a false perception, you can develop a healthy sense of being and completeness, thus eliminating buying things that you don't really need. 5 psychological weapons used to make you overspend. We've talked in general about the power of advertising to change our behavior. Now, we're going to learn about 5 specific methods or tricks that are used every day to influence us and increase our desire for materialistic things. Contrast principle. When we experience similar things in succession or simultaneously, we evaluate the lesser or greater value of the second through direct comparison with the first. This contrast effect will create an increased or diminished perception of the second thing, dependent on how we viewed the first. For example, when you lift a heavy bag and then a lighter one, the second bag will appear lighter than it really is. This contrast effect is because our brain evaluates things based on the comparison that is most easily accessible at that given moment, rather than the most suitable one. Thus, we evaluate by reference to convenient comparisons, rather than by using absolute values, which are more correct, as these aren't readily available for our brains to utilize. This often leads us to make biased judgments. The contrast effect applies to many judgments we make day to day. For example, if at a cocktail party, you talk to an unattractive person and are then joined by an average-looking person, you'll judge the average-looking person to be more attractive than they really are. Also, more so than you would have perceived them to be had you seen them on their own, before you had this unreliable scale of comparison implanted. In this way, the contrast effect can affect our judgments concerning people, products, market values, and the values of many other attributes and characteristics. The contrast principle has many applications in sales and marketing, and is often utilized by brands to influence customers' perceptions of their products. For example, a technique commonly used by salespeople is to offer either low quality or an overpriced luxury item alongside the one they really want you to buy. They do this to influence your perception of this target product as being a good value deal in comparison to the other items they offered. Reciprocity. People are socially obliged to give back to others the form of a behavior, gift, or service that they have received first. If a friend invites you to their party, you feel obligated to ask them to a future party you were hosting. If a colleague does you a favor, then you owe that colleague a favor. In the context of social obligation, people are more likely to say yes to those who they owe. This principle is exploited ruthlessly. Charities know this well, which is why they send a free gift, such as a pen, when they are soliciting donations. Likewise, restaurants exploit this when they give you a mint along with your bill. This simple act will increase tips by 3%. Authority. Authority is the idea that people follow the lead of credible, knowledgeable experts. Physiotherapists, for example, can persuade more of their patients to comply with recommended exercise programs if they display their medical diplomas on the walls of their consulting rooms. People are more likely to give change for a parking meter to a stranger if that requester wears a uniform rather than casual clothes. What the science is telling us is that it's important to signal to others what makes you a credible, knowledgeable authority before you make your influence attempt. In the same vein, advertisers will use authority figures like dentists to market their products, such as toothpaste or toothbrushes, as the claims appear more credible. Scarcity. People always want more of those things they can have less of. For instance, when British Airways announced in 2003 that they would no longer be operating the twice-daily London to New York Concorde flight because it had become uneconomical to run, sales took off, pun intended, the very next day. Notice that nothing had changed about Concorde itself. It didn't fly any faster, the service didn't suddenly get better, and the airfare didn't drop. It had simply become a scarce resource, and as a result, people wanted more of it. This is why sales are always ending today or for one day only. They want you to believe that you'll miss out if you don't grab that bargain right now. Consistency. Consistency is an adaptive behavior that has been very beneficial. Doing certain things always in the same way and making decisions according to the same values help us survive in a complex world. We feel bad if we say we're going to do one thing and then we don't do it. We unconsciously strive for consistency in our commitments. We prefer to follow pre-existing attitudes, values, and actions, so it's much more likely that we end up doing something after having admitted to agreeing with it, verbally or in writing. Not only do we want to be consistent, but we also need to look consistent. The more effort you put into doing something, the more influential the principle of consistency will be. In Cialdini's research, he found that not only will people go out of their way to behave consistently, they will also feel positive about being consistent with their decisions, even when faced with evidence that their decisions were erroneous. For example, at the racetracks, people are much more confident of their horse's chances of winning just after placing the bet than they are immediately before laying down that bet. Second, we don't know ourselves that well. Sometimes we say something or do something without thinking it through beforehand. Then our mind says, okay, I just bought my third Starbucks in a week. I must really like coffee and Starbucks. Maybe I even can't function properly without them. It's similar to forcing yourself to smile when you feel sad. It makes you less sad because your brain gets the information on your mood from the physiological action you made. Third, sometimes we'll decide on our identity, and hence our behavior, by looking at what others think about us. Housewives from New Haven, Connecticut, gave much more money to a charity after hearing that they were considered charitable people. Such automatic decision-making, plus the stubbornness to stick with this decision is a gift to anyone who'd want to influence your behavior, for better or worse. Poverty is not relative. We just perceive it that way. The rise of social media platforms in the past 2 decades has undoubtedly revolutionized the way we interact with each other. Sites such as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter constantly keep us in touch with our friends, family, and acquaintances, and peek into their lives without being constrained by the barriers of distance or time. While this increased connectedness has produced a transformational effect on our personal relationships, it has also come at considerable cost to our mental health and the way we perceive ourselves. Picture this. You're scrolling through your news feeds on Facebook or Instagram, and suddenly, an image of one of your friends having a great time at a posh restaurant pops up on your screen. They seem to be happy and smiling, which makes you envious of them. Immediately, you begin to think about your meager income and the fact that you're not able to afford a meal at such a swish location. This will likely cause you to feel inadequate and inferior, thus feeding into the negative thoughts you have about yourself. Your self-esteem ends up taking a hit, and your self-confidence diminishes. A friend said to me, "You're always out and about eating in nice places." As my wife will attest, that is inaccurate, but this is because the only time I post on social media is when we go out. After all, the rest of our life is as mundane as the next person. What he was seeing from his Facebook feed was a complete caricature of our lives. People tend to portray themselves on social media in choreographed ways to appeal to other users. There's a lot of pressure on social media for people to present themselves in glamorous vignettes to achieve popularity and influence on these platforms when, in real life, they may be struggling like everyone else. If you take the flashy images you see on social media as accurate representations of people's real-life experiences, you are going to feel poor and inadequate. It is worth remembering, in fact, poverty is not relative. Real poverty is living in a shack without access to running water or proper sanitation, where if you don't work that day, then you won't eat. Billions of people live that type of existence. So, although you may feel poor as compared to some of your friends or acquaintances in social media, there's always someone else who is worse off than you. By appreciating yourself and what you have going for you at the moment, you can eliminate the tendency of comparing yourself with others and the need to show off on social media. How to arm yourself against manipulation. There are a number of steps that we can take to fight back against the barrage of advertising, social media, and other negative influences. Realize that your self-worth is not a function of your possessions or even wealth, and work on reinforcing that. Develop the habits and practices of internal rather than external motivation. Look to your internalized set of values for reference, not what is happening around you at the moment. Reduce or eliminate your exposure to social media and the news or TV. Replace these stimuli with meaningful hobbies or pastimes that give you purpose and pleasure. I know it sounds trite, but you should spend time each day counting your blessings and looking at positive events in your life, because it works to improve your mental strength. Let us refresh some of the main points that we've picked from this chapter. Understanding and changing one's spending behaviors is absolutely crucial when it comes to developing good financial discipline. Marketers and advertisers take advantage of people's weaknesses and insecurities to promote the sale and purchase of products which they do not need. Compulsive spending can be an addiction, which can lead to financial as well as psychosocial problems, and you should overcome it to be financially empowered. Comparing ourselves with others only breeds negative feelings about our own self-worth and drives us to spend copious amounts of money to feel good about ourselves. By practicing self-love, we can develop healthy strategies to cope with difficult emotions and eliminate the tendency of impulsive buying. Develop the habits and behaviors of intrinsic motivation to protect yourself from negative influences. Make a list of all the times over the past few weeks you've compared yourself unfavorably to others and consider the circumstances. Then, do an exercise to look at all the positives in your life, including your relationships. Consider giving up social media for a week or two and see if you feel better off without it. This has been Perpetually Broke, Living Beyond Your Income. Get a financial makeover in 7 hours and achieve prosperity by 40. Written by Tom Cromwell, narrated by Russell Newton for Hot Ghost Productions.